Do you support a rural subsistence priority? That's my question.
So my what I said in there was I support subsistence use as the highest priority use under state law and federal law. Right now in Alaska, as you know, under ANILCA, there is a rural subsistence preference. Under the state constitution, there is not. And so my view on with regard to subsistence is that all the stakeholders, all Alaskans, need to come together to work on a workable solution that's sustainable. The key is sustainable. If it's one group thinking they have kind of one over another group, it's not a sustainable solution.
What about the Tongass and the five landless communities in Southeast? They've been trying to get that land.
I'm someone who, in my career, again, has taken action to try and help the timber industry in Southeast. So in 2010, you had the logjam timber sale for Viking Lumber. Several environmental groups sued to stop that. When I was Attorney General, I intervened to protect those Southeast jobs and the process. We won that case, and we had that timber mill working. And we have a replay of that right now in terms of the Big Thorn timber sale. It looks like that's going to go through a similar process. I'm glad to see the state of Alaska has intervened. But as a senator, I would get results with regard to limiting those kind of frivolous lawsuits that undermine the communities here in Southeast, and would really work, not just lip service, on repealing the roadless rule from a regulatory and statutory standpoint and trying to get access to the Tongass, which is so critical to this the economic opportunity for Southeast.
Do you think that Secretary of State Kerry should invoke the Boundary Waters Treaty to activate the International Joint Commission to study mining plans across the border?
Yeah, I think we should work very closely with the Canadian government on this in a forceful way. And I think it should be led at the Secretary of State level. Part of the experience I'll bring as a U.S. Senator is I served as a U.S. Assistant Secretary of State under Condoleezza Rice. I was in charge of global economic issues, energy issues, finance issues, terrorist finance issues. But I worked very closely with the Canadian government on a bunch of issues. I'd go to Ottawa. I'd sit down with the foreign minister myself. I'd use the context that I have in the U.S. State Department, which are significant, and the Canadian government to actually get action.
What about the Pebble Mine and the EPA? What should be done with the EPA at this point? Do you support the Pebble Mine as it's proposed now?
The Pebble Mine has not even gone through permitting, so the Pebble Mine project has not actually defined the project. My position on the Pebble Mine has been clear since the time I was Attorney General and DNR Commissioner, which is we should never trade one resource for another. We have an incredible resource in terms of our Bristol Bay fisheries. We also have a permitting process that is transparent, that involves Alaskans, that we need to make sure is fair. I've written the EPA as DNR Commissioner with the Attorney General, Mike Garrity, asking them where they have that authority in the Clean Water. Where do they have that authority to preemptively veto not just a mine, but any project, a timber project, an oil and gas project? The EPA has not shown us Alaskans where they have that authority. I think providing the EPA that kind of veto power is a precedent that could be very harmful for Alaskans in many other sectors. So I'm not supportive of giving the EPA authorities that don't exist under statute.
Did you play any role in the governor's response to the allegations of mismanagement at the National Guard? You were the Attorney General back in 2010.
No. No role. None.
And why was that? You just weren't involved?
I had no knowledge of that issue when I was Attorney General.
Okay. Health care, how would you make it, how would you make it more accessible for people in Alaska?
This is another era where Mark Baggs and I have very, very different views. My, you know, he was the deciding vote on Obamacare. I was the Attorney General who sued to stop it. So part of the problem is nobody read the document. It's a tax document. It increases taxes on Americans by almost $1 trillion. And it's also a document that, in addition to the law itself, is now being followed up by regulations that number over 20,000 pages, the implementing regulations for Obamacare. Nobody knows what's in those. Certainly Mark Begich doesn't, the Congress doesn't, the federal agencies don't, but Alaskans, businesses, clinics, hospitals are responsible for understanding and implementing those regulations. It is a approach to government that consolidates power in Washington that I'm fundamentally opposed to.
Is there something to replace that
that
could get through Congress?
Absolutely. Well, that's a good question, whether it could. I think the vast majority of Alaskans I talk to agree with we need to get back to the principle of freedom. What do I mean by that? Affordable access to care is certainly very important. The decisions on your health care should be primarily made between a family and their doctor. And to give Alaskans the choice again, how do you do that? First, transparency. Right now, we need transparency in our health care system, where most Alaskans don't even know how much it costs, whether it's an MRI, whether it's an X-ray, to know the costs of procedures. Second, we need to be able to have more competition to purchase plans across state lines. Obamacare doesn't allow for that. Tax deductions. Right now, only businesses can deduct tax health care expenses. Families should be allowed to do that. And then to bring down health care costs, we need to undertake tort reform. It's a huge, huge driver of increased costs. Obamacare did nothing to address it.